Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for inviting us into the fellowship of the mysteries. Thank you for opening unto us the oracles of your spirit. Thank you for bringing us enlightenment and illumination, causing us to participate with realities that have existed for aeons. Lord, even as we interact with these depths and these realities, we ask that you make us become what we hear and what we see, that our lives will become a wonder to our world. And by us, your kingdom and your dominion will find expression in our generation and in our territories. So let it be established in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated in the precious name of Jesus. And so last night we began to look at a very sensitive subject, the ministry of the word. We are in a perilous time. And so a lot of things are happening. There are spirits in our ecosystem, different kinds of deception, different kinds of operations are ongoing. And in order to be accurately aligned with God and with the movement of His Spirit, we must come back to foundational emphasis and know the spirit of the word. And this is why conferences like this are very important, because it helps us to find accuracy, it helps us to find alignment, it helps us to find intimacy with the God of heaven. It helps us to walk in time and to receive rewards at the end of our sojourn on the face of the earth. Nothing furnishes conviction like the Word of God. And so every time we have opportunity to look into the Word in depth, then we are doing something that impacts us not just in time but in eternity. And so in this conference, I believe that lines and navigations will be drawn, perspectives will be drawn, coordinates will be established, that we bring men into eternal accuracy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yesterday we saw that man is falling. And because man is falling, he is trapped in time. Man was not designed to function within the confines of time. Man was designed to impact time, to impact the visible universe. He was not designed to be trapped by time. The reason man became a creature of time was because he fell. When man was originally created, God didn't take the burden of chronologically calculating his age. Man was actually created as a being of eternity. And so God did not put man on earth. God put man in Eden. Eden is not earth. Eden is a portal between heaven and earth. Eden is a dimension that embodies both spirit and natural. And the reason is because the man was existing as a being of eternity, imparting time. So he needed to function in an ecosystem that gave him access to the realms eternal. And he also needed to function in a reality that gives him access to time. That was why Eden was created. And so God could comfortably walk in and out of Eden without asking for doors to be opened. Because Eden was also an extension of heaven. The same way it's an extension of the earth realm. Praise the name of the Lord.
If the man was living from Eden and within Eden, he would have been imparting time, and his goal would have been twofold. Number one, to become an exact expression of the God that he has intercourse with from time to time. This is why the Bible said in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. The goal is because he was created to model and to mirror God. This is why I told us yesterday, no matter what your best is, if your best is not a God dimension, it's failure. Because you were not created to be good at what you are doing. You were created to mirror God in doing what you are doing. So a man who lives and expresses God is a man who is functioning by his full potential. So the reason God put the man in Eden, having intercourse with him every day, was so that the man can come to that point where when you see him and touch him, you don't touch a man, you touch God. He becomes a vessel that contains God and expresses God. That man is a theater. When you look upon him, the way you are looking at this LED screen and you are seeing me, when you see a man, you are supposed to be seeing God, not a man. This LED screen is projecting me. That is how you were designed to project God. So when we see you and we see anything other than God, it means you have not found the fullness of your creation. Number two, the man was created to rule over earth, so that by his rulership, he will convert the earth to a prototype of heaven. Because God wanted the man to participate in the creative enterprise. He didn't want to exist as the only creator. He was looking for co-creators. So when he put the man in Eden, he told the man to multiply. He said, have dominion. So whatever you see as you enter the heavens, replicate it on the earth realm. So you extend Eden to the frontiers of the earth realm. So the man was supposed to exist as a co-creator with God. The man was supposed to exist as a co-heir with God. Everything the man did should have been an attempt of extending heaven to earth. And that's why when Jesus taught prayer, he said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's the primary assignment. If earth does not become a mirror image of heaven, then men are not on earth. They may be somewhere else. If earth is not a mirror image of heaven, then men are not living. They may be doing something else. Because life is not breath. Life is actually walking in consonance with divine ordinations. Praise the name of the Lord. So the reason man fell into time and became a creature of time, the reason man was ruled and regulated by the external influences, is because he was falling. If he were not falling, every day of his life he would have been transfigurating. He would have been transfiguring more and more into God. So when you see him yesterday and see him today, the glory would have increased. So you will not call a man's success a multitude of what he has. You would have called a man's success the degree to which he beams the glory of God. So every day you see a man, he would have been on a journey of increased glory. That's why I said we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the image of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory. That was the original design. And when you come to a man's ecosystem, you would experience more of heaven. Because his success is actually the degree to which he translates the natural realm to the invincible realm. So that earth becomes heaven. But man is a fallen creature. So he now values and evaluates himself based on natural things. We feel good when we dress well. When we drive in good cars, we feel honorable. I told you yesterday how that it looks beautiful and glorious to sit in a business class. But unfortunately, it's a state of the fall. Because if I was not falling, I wouldn't need a plane to come here. I would have bilocated to this place and it would have been natural. You see that the fall has affected our value system. The fall has affected our thought patterns. The fall has impacted our whole being. And so the only way to go back to the original design is through the instrumentality of the word. So when we are doing business with the word, our goal is not to cram it. When we are doing business with the word, our goal is not to preach it. When we are doing business with the word, we are knocking on an eternal door that reality will open to us again, because we want to live from there. Only then shall we handle the full weight of our heritage. And I told you one of the burdens I have is for men to come back to the full expression of their eternal ordination. Because it's so unfortunate how that the witches have kept their own heritage, but we have not been able to keep ours. When witches come for meetings, they all appear, and it's not a testimony. But when we come for meetings, Even the car park is a body. Because we need space to park cars. Witches don't need to go for meetings with cars. When witches travel, they just go there. And it's normal. Even a witch that is initiated today knows how to bilocate for meetings. But for we, if we have an experience that looks like it, we want to snap it and put everywhere. Because we know we have lost our heritage. You need to see a man who is praying and light appears in his room. He will not make the most of that encounter. His greatest cry will be that, oh, this thing is not captured. I wish it was captured so that everybody will know that I'm the apostle of this generation. It's because we are falling. Because if we were not falling, they would have been natural. If we were not falling, it would have been natural. I heard the story of R.W. Schambach that in his tent meetings, normal, you will see fire on the tent. It's a normal thing. They've called fire service again and again and they got tired because they knew it was a hallowed expression of God's glory manifesting in the form of fire. Why have we lost the heritage of the first? It's because we are falling and we are not making efforts to return. When we open the Bible, we are looking for a message to preach. And when we preach that message and people clap, we are excited. When we read the Bible, we are looking for a transaction to carry out. We are looking for how to use the wisdom of God to prosper. And the moment we prosper, we have done all there is to do. There is more than that. As beautiful as that is, there is more. You need to study the scriptures to make your way in life. That's beautiful, but there is more. If you're reading this Bible does not make you become like a god, the day you leave the earth, you failed. And so when we come for a world conference, there are two things I came here to share with us tonight. Number one is how do we do business with the world? And then number two, when we start doing business with the world, what should we look out for? Because one of the errors of this particular generation is that they are carried away by the activities and they don't know why they do what they do. So even very spiritual things, we abuse them. I told you a little about prayer yesterday. How that our praying now is about the volume of prayer and the prayer posture. It is no longer about the impact and the import of prayer. The Bible said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So the goal of prayer is not the volume. The goal of prayer is not the posture. The goal of prayer is not how long. But when you start fighting and contending for what prayer offers, a point will come where you will have to pray very long. Because it will take time to arrive there. When you start praying prayer for a long time, a time will come, prayer will alter your posture. It's not you trying to appear in a certain way. It's the energy of that prayer that will reprogram you. But if you don't know that you are journeying somewhere, you will camp your tent around posture. You will camp your tent around time. And you will not bet anything. And at the end of the day, you would have been known as a prayer warrior, but you have no impact in your generation. This is why we fight to make impressions and not impact. So the ministry of the word. How do you engage the ministry of the word? In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, the apostle said, it's not meet that we give ourselves to tables. He said, we'll give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. How do you engage the ministry of the word? This is a world conference. It's important for you to know how to do business with the word of God. Because if you don't know how to engage the word, you may not make profit in your life. If you don't know how to engage the word, you may never become what God designed you to become. If you don't know how to make business with the word, you may never impact your word enough to transform it. But the Bible said the earnest expectation of creation. He waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For creation is in bondage. The trees around you are waiting for you to manifest. The air is waiting for you to manifest. Creation is dying because we have not awoken as sons. If we do business with the word and do it correctly, something will happen. So first, how do you do business with the word? Four things I will share with us briefly this morning, this evening. And I'm trying to keep it basic. Number one is by reading. Reading not because you want to recite and cram and quote. Reading because you want a dimension to open to you. Because one of the ways to access dimensions is by reading the book. In Isaiah 34 verse 16, it says, seek ye out of the book of the law and read. So when you are reading, you are not memorizing, you are seeking. And remember I said, if you seek, you will find. So reading is actually a spiritual system that affords you the privilege to find spiritual things. It says, seek ye out of the book of the law and read. It says, none of these things will fail. It says, none will desire her meat. It says, my mouth, it have spoken it. My spirit have gathered it. That means the realities of God are encompassed, collocated, and aggregated in the spirit. But the doorway to those realities in the scripture. So when a man is reading the scripture, he's not trying to read volumes to quote. He's trying to seek something that is hid. He wants something to open to him. And the way he will do it is to read it. That's why sometimes when you are reading, you discover you read again and again and again. If your readership is to seek, you will know that your goal is not to cover a lot. Your goal is to find something. And so a point may come when, while you are reading the scripture, you can read one verse 10 times. It's not because the English is hard. It's because there's a door that is here to open. And you will stay there until that door opens. The moment the door opens, you will discover something. That a man who knows is not increasing in knowledge. A man who knows receives freedom. He said, thou shalt know the truth. The truth shall make you free. You don't know the truth to increase in knowledge. You know the truth to step into liberty. And so when you read and find, the sign that you have found is that you will step into a kind of liberty that was not there when you started reading. You may have been reading, you went to read as a barren woman. But when you read and find, you will know that your child has come. And true to your finding, 9 months later, you will carry your baby. And they ask you, where did the baby come from? It came from the Word. You may enter there reading with a sickness. When you find, you will not come out quoting healing scriptures. When you come out, you will come out with divine health. Because your finding is a cure to your infirmity. So when we go to do business with the Word, we are going to seek realities. But we know that those realities are locked up in the pages of scripture. So our job is to dig in until we pull the reality out. And one of the ways to do that is by reading. This is why we sit on the scripture for hours. When you are starting as a beginner, you may want to read the Bible cover to cover. That's good. It's good discipline. It makes you to be acquainted with the Word. But when you journey beyond acquaintance, you want to search out truth. You want to seek reality. So you start digging. You start digging. And the way to dig is by reading. This was one of the cultures of the Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 11. He said, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, he said, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in all their hearing. You will read it. He gave us this prescription as a way of life. When you appear before the Lord, he said, you will read it, because you know at that point something is about to open to you. I can tell you, our generation have lost the culture of reading. We have lost the culture of reading the Word, and this is why anything goes. And so you meet a young lady today, a pastor can lead her astray. When you go around African nations, you will start weeping. During the crossover service, there was a church where people sat down and they were baiting young ladies on the altar. They will bait them, clean them, somebody will apply cream on their body, almost naked, because they told them that's how they will cleanse them of bad luck. And when a generation is daft, anything you tell them go. Because they have not acquired truth for themselves. Have you come to places where they tell you, come and put your money on my shoe, touch my shoe, and you will be rich. And you see people thronging out. Literally anything you say in this generation goes. Because 90% to 95% are spiritual illiterates. And so the reason you have fake pastors is because there are too many fake believers. The day we stop being fake, fake pastors will stop. Because the things most pastors preach where they go to, they can't preach it in ministers conference. Why? Because they know that in ministers conference, everybody know the truth. They can preach and do what they do when they meet people who don't know. And so when a generation equip themselves with truth and everybody begins to read the Bible, fake men will run. Because when they start talking, you say, wait, but what does the Bible say in John chapter this verse? The person will calm down. They are fake pastors because they are fake followers. The day we have real followers, fake pastors will stop. And the way to become real is to take the burden of reading this book. It's not everything that is prophesied. It's not everything that is transferred through impartation. Some things are sought. You will seek it by reading. Too many people are not seeking. That's why the level of spiritual illiteracy is enormous. And the darkness of our world is a sign of the lack of truth in possession of the church. A generation will rise that again will go back to the foundations of reading. And everybody will open the pages of scriptures for themselves and find out what is there. Have you seen people who have crisis? She's barren for 15 years and she has not read 5 scriptures about fertility. And then she's looking for apostles and prophets. She hears there is a program in Onitsha, she's there. She hears there is a program in Lagos, she's there. The effort you put in seeking those prophets, if you sat down for 2 weeks, you would have been amazed. But we don't know the value of the word. If they told you that this is a gold mine, you will spend all your life searching it. But you don't know that greater than a gold mine is locked in the book you have dumped in your house for 5 years. Somebody will go back and dust off the book and say, I want to find out what was said concerning my destiny. And then you begin to go through the pages. Go through the pages. Not because you are about to start preaching, but because you are finding who you are from that book. Because before you were born, he knew you. He ordained you and he sanctified you to be a prophet. But you've got to search it out. Number 2. You know, it was Paul that gave this formula. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13. He said, until I come, give attendance to reading. That was Paul mentoring his own disciples. I know you have followed me. I know I've laid hands on you. Brother, give attention to reading. And then number 2, he said to exhortation. Reading is you digging it from the book for yourself. Exhortation is to sit and listen to somebody else that have made a research, because you can't find everything. The burdens of God in your heart is what determines the kinds of things you look for. So if I have burden for souls, when I'm opening the scripture, it's how to win souls that I will be finding. If I have burden to make people wealthy, when I'm opening the scripture, is the strategy of empowering the church through finances that I'll be looking at. If I have burden to deal with the sick, when I'm opening the scripture, it is the strategies and the ways of dealing with demons and dealing with sicknesses that I'll be finding. But I need much more than what I have burden for. I may have burden for the sick, but brother, I need money to advance the crusade. I may have burden for finances, but brother, I need wisdom. I need favor. And so in order to be fully and thoroughly furnished, what I will do is, I will go to them that have and I will buy. And so in the exhortation program, what you are doing is that you are buying into the wealth and the discovery of others. And so as an individual, when my faith level is under attack, I begin to look for Bishop David Oyedepo immediately. Before I start reading, I know it may take a while for me to search the scripture from Genesis to Revelation to boost my faith. If I take 3 messages from Bishop David Oyedepo and I hear them for 4 hours, I will start flying at a level that it would have taken 2 weeks of reading for me to enter. The reason is because when you are doing the business of exhortation, you are growing in the spirit. When I know that I'm about to go for a healing meeting, sometimes I check my spirit. There's no word there. Sometimes the energy is low. And then I quickly look for Pastor Chris. And as I begin to hear him, my heart begins to burn. My heart begins to burn. After a while, it looks as if I see cancer, I will pull it out. Because through exhortation, I have bought into his faith. Through exhortation, I have bought into his revelation. Through exhortation, I have bought into his anointing. And when I step out, the things that happen with him begin to happen with me. Exhortation is a spiritual strategy for us to network so that we'll be complete in our manifestation. Is the business of the word. The word of God is not with one man, it's with many persons. When I'm seeking wisdom and excellence, I can just go and pick any message of Pastor Paul Adefarasin. The coordination and the eloquence. Sometimes you wonder, do these people swallow speech when they talk? And he's just talking and everything is articulate. Where did you get this from? And when I hear, after a while, my own tongue too becomes fluid. And when I go out and I'm talking, you are wondering, what happened to this man? Adefarasi happened to him. This is how it works. When I want to go for a crusade, I look for Dr. Paul Enenje. Sometimes he shows up and there's no time to preach. He just worships God, and in the name of Jesus, in the lion dimension, you'll see him waving his hand and demons are going. He can't even stay in one place. And that same energy hits you. And as you go for the meeting, my God, you are wondering what is happening. The reason is because the wealth of the church is not in heaven. The wealth of the church is in the body. And through exhortation, we connect to the different custodians of those different dimensions. That's why you destroy your life when you fight graces. You destroy your life when you fight custodians. Because the things of God are no longer in the spirit. He has conferred everything to the church. He said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he gave that power to the church. He said, go in that power. So everything you are looking for is with someone. But it is through the exhortation of the word that those spirits and those realities are communicated. In Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 2, he said, as he spake unto me, he was not just educating my mind. He said, the spirit entered into me and carried me to my feet. So when we connect to the graces of people through exhortation, it is beyond what they are saying. You can hear the scripture he's quoting and write it, but something is happening to you more than scripture. Because as he speaks, the spirit enters you. Many people who hear me, they go back home and it becomes difficult for them to sleep. They start praying because I am speaking scripture, but they are interacting with fire. They don't know how the fire entered them. It is the technology of exhortation. Because not everything can be taught. Certain things are imparted as a body of spirit. And it is through the gateway of exhortation that those things enter you. So when you want to grow in the world, when you read, you also open your ear to exhortation. In Philippians chapter 4 verse 9, Paul said, the things that you have seen in me, the things you have heard, he said, the same do. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, he said, the things you have received from me before many witnesses, he said, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So when we are doing the business of exhortation, we are transferring the spirit of the word. The same power that is behind the wall is what is communicated. But those men that excavated it, you must hear them. If you don't hear them, you can't go forward. When God wanted the world to receive from Christ, he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Because for you to take of what he carries, you must hear him. So through exhortation, we are not just excavating truth. Through exhortation, we are connecting to the spirit of the word. You may read about faith, but you may not touch the spirit of faith. You may have the word of faith. For you to take the spirit of faith, you may need to find a man that carries it. Because when that man is talking to you, he's not only giving you the word of faith, he's giving you the spirit of faith. Bishop David Oyedepo said something. He had read scriptures, he had memorized scriptures, he was walking in faith until he met Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, while Kenneth E. Hagin was speaking, his eyes changed to the eyes of a baby. And instantly something hit him. And he fell on the floor and he was crying like a baby. I was trying to imagine, when Bishop Oyedepo cries, what does it look like? A man that rigid like a rock. But it came before somebody that carried a voltage. A voltage. You have the knowledge of faith. I have the energy of faith. And when he stood before Kenneth Hagin, he melted. Pastor Ian Adeboye told the story. He said in 1979, they went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And when he entered there, he had seen healing before. But to his dismay, people were being healed like child's play. What is this? And he said, no, I will meet this man. I know I read about healing from the Bible. You know, there are arrogant people today. They say, me too, I will search. You will search when you are 90 years old. You may only know about salvation. When he saw the man, he said, no, what is this? When he entered his office and Kenneth Hagin came to pray for him, he said all he saw was his hand coming. The next thing he discovered, he was on the floor for many minutes. He had gone somewhere that he doesn't know. And he saw Kenneth Hagin put his hand on him, praying in tongues. When he returned from Tulsa, the man that went to Tulsa was different from the man that came. Because when you connect to people, you are receiving something. Did you not read about Jesus? Greater than John the Baptist, yet there was something that must happen when he connects to John. And he said, as he went to the baptismal service, as John the Baptist baptized him, he was coming out of the waters praying, the heavens open. Why didn't the heaven open when Jesus was at home? Why didn't the heaven open when Jesus was prowling around? Because the spirit can only be transferred when you connect to the one who carries it. It's the spirit of exhortation. In 1 John chapter 1, from verse 1, it said, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we looked upon, which we handled of the word of life. He said, that's what we came to commit to you. He said, for that life that was with the Father, we have seen him and we declare him unto you. He said, that which was from the beginning, we have seen him and we declare unto you, that your joy may be complete and that you may have fellowship with us. Can they not read the Bible for themselves? There are some that have not only heard. There are some that have not only seen. They have handled of the word of life. So when a man who has handled is talking to you, the dimensions he will take you to will be deeper than everything you have read. So sometimes when you want to make progress by the word, God himself will lead you to a man. That's why Jesus appeared to Paul himself. And he said, go into the city. You will be told what you must do. You have met the glorified Christ. Why do you need to see another man? Because the dimensions are no longer heaven. They are with men. And if you despise them, you will never receive them. The reason we pursue exhortation is because there are custodians on earth. We are not all the same. We are not all the same. And in the ministry of the word, there is a dimension of the word you will never have. You will never have it, no matter how you study, until the one that has it gives it to you. That's why Jesus appeared to Ananias and to Paul, and he sent him to Ananias. I have given him that dimension. If you don't connect to him, you can't have it. If you like be arrogant, your frustration in life will teach you at old age that you erred. It was Pastor E. Adeboye that told the story that in the ancient times, when you are looking for fire, you can decide to take stones and labor from morning to evening until you get a spark. But if you don't want to labor, you'll go and climb a tree. Anywhere you see smoke coming from, go there. You will easily fetch fire. One is easy, one is hard. If you want to go the route of reading, keep reading. You may find certain things at old age, but some of us know that through exhortation, we connect to the spirit of reality. And so if I find anybody that has a dimension, I don't waste my time. I go there and ferociously I take it. When I was learning the doctrine of eternal life, I had to search a man that had it. And I heard of Andrew Womack. This guy raises the dead like child's play. Why? Because he has caught something about eternal life. And I sat there. I read and listened to this man. I heard messages from morning till night. And a point came. The same name of Jesus that I quote, I said it and the results were worlds apart. I showed up in a meeting. I said in the name of Jesus, three people came out. That growth had dematerialized. What? I didn't even have faith for it. But I connected to a man that had life. And life was already flowing through me. What do you mean? Growth has left you? What happened? How did it happen? Are you sure? I said, no, take them out. Maybe the emotion here is high. They are being sensational. I told the keyboardist, stop playing. I want to be sure what is happening. The lady said, I had three growths in my breast. It's gone. What? I had to start learning to believe dimensions that were already manifesting. Because I caught it from somebody else. And to make things worse, I traveled to Abia to minister. And the lady showed up. She said she was shot with a bullet. A bullet. And the bullet was there. They removed two. It was remaining one. And she said the matter had dematerialized. Even me, I know I don't have faith to command matters to dematerialize. But I connected to somebody that carried life. So when Paul said exhortation, he knows what he's talking about. There is a dimension of the word you will never touch until you go to them that have and buy. That's why I say buy the truth, sell it not. You will pay the price. There are certain men you will buy their messages to hear what you have read from the Bible. There are certain men you will travel for hours, for days to sit down and listen to. Not because you have not read it. You have read the Bible cover to cover. But you yourself, when you hear them, when they open those things, you will know that these are custodians. These are custodians. You will know that these ones are custodians. And then number three, he said doctrine. You want to grow in the word? You must labor in doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17, it said, the elders that rule well, he said, they are worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. The reason is because doctrine is hard. It's another level. Reading may be fun. Exhortation may be easy. Doctrine is labor. And for you to be accurate in your word with God, you must know doctrine. Because doctrine becomes the foundation of spiritual accuracy. Spiritual accuracy is not that you met Jesus in the spirit. Any being can appear like Christ. Any being can appear like the angel of light. The only way you can be accurate in the spirit is when doctrine has been ironed out. This is where the labor of the word comes in. And the reason many people are porous is because they never hear doctrine. Hear me. When you do exhortation, you connect to the spirit of that dimension. But it will take doctrine for you to gather truths and compartmentalize them until you are accurate. You want to study on love, and you will search the word love from Genesis to Revelation. When you read it and analyze it, you will know that it takes labor to do doctrine. It takes enormous labor. The word of God is not joke. It's not something you just hear and enjoy. Sometimes you are searching the word, you are sweating. It was Kenneth Hagin's son that told the story that he will go to school in the morning. They wake up, they meet their father. 5 different Bible versions are open and he's reading them. And they will go to school, come back in the evening. The man is still there searching scripture. He wants to know what God said about faith. And he's checking every word that was spoken about faith, trying to put it in context to understand this faith mentioned here. What was he referring to? Why was he mentioned? How can it be applied? This one mentioned here. And he's laboring sometimes for 2 weeks. He will only stand up from there to either eat or to ease himself. It's called doctrine. If a generation does not labor like that, we will err. The reason as Abba is porous is because they are gifted men, but doctrine is lacking. When you come into this city at night, you dare not go out. My assistant went down yesterday just to get something. And he saw as though bosses brought ladies. And almost everyone was naked. Why? Because when they come to church, they only hear about prosperity. They have not heard about the power that purifies. They have not heard about the judgment that is to come. So there is a deficiency in truth. And when we come to church and all we do is clap and dance, then a generation will be lost. Because when you meet these ladies and ask of their names, it will be Martha, Mary, Magdalene. You will never hear a name that is not a Christian name. Where did they come from? They came from the churches. But we have not labored in doctrine to show them the perspectives of Abba. Every day we come to church, we prophesy prosperity from January to December, and the souls of men are dying. Immorality on the high scale, and nobody can tell restore because our messages can't pierce their heart. It will take doctrine for people to understand the vengeance of God. They can balance between grace and judgment. They can balance between grace and obedience. They can balance between grace and sanctification. Because the grace that came to save is the same grace that teaches us that denying ungodly lust, we should live soberly in this world. How come we know the grace that forgives and we don't know the grace that empowers men to live above iniquity? Because there's a deficiency in doctrine. We teach prosperity, and prosperity is materialism. What kind of prosperity is that? That impacts only your circumstance and does not impact your soul. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. You are not prospering because you have a car. You are prospering because you are knowing God more. This is why the benchmark for prosperity is the degree to which you know God. You are not permitted to have more money than you know Jesus. If you have more money than you know Jesus, that money will become your God.
But error will continue unless the carpenters that know the foundation of doctrines begin to appear on the scene. There's a deficiency. Who told you power is about healing the sick alone? Who told you power is about people falling under the anointing? Who taught us that garbage? The first realm of power is the ability to tame the flesh. You see, I beat my body. I bring it under subjection. He said, you shall receive power and you shall be called the sons of God. The first power you receive, he made you to become. He said, as many as received that power, he gave them the authority to become the sons of God. You talk about power and you are a slave of immorality. You are a slave of lying. You are a slave of fornication. Who told you you know power? He said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. The first realm of power is the power that tames the flesh. I can bring my body under subjection. And because I can rule over my body, I can rule over my circumstances. But when there is no doctrine, men that are just excited will say rubbish. And everything about power in our generation is people falling down. They fall down, they go back, and they are the same way they are. In Obadiah 1:21, it says, saviors shall come from Mount Zion. Listen, we are not Christians. It's the people of the world that called us Christians. Find out what the Bible calls us. It called us believers. He called us witnesses. He called us saviors. When I come into Asaba and you look at my life, you should be able to tell what humility is. When you look at my life, you should be able to tell what purity is. When you look at my life, you should be able to tell what a God man is. We are the reflectors of God to our generation. That's why I say you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. What is the dimension you represent? It will take accurate doctrine for it to happen. Is your governor a Muslim? You see, our problem is Islam. Is your governor a Muslim? How come there is corruption in your land? How come salaries are not being paid? How come affliction and atrocities are happening? Didn't they go to church? Where did they come from? Were they taught by the Hindu gods? Are they not part of us? But while they were rising, they only taught them how to succeed. And their focus was maligned. They thought success is influence and power, cars and vehicles. They never knew that success is where you are standing in the company of the immortals. When the realms are open, where are you standing? Isaiah thought it was about word of knowledge. When he appeared in the realms beyond the crystals, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and his train filled the temple. Suddenly a national prophet said, woe unto me. I succeeded on earth. I was popular. I was influential. But when the crystals were open and my reality was revealed, I saw that I was wretched. Because if I have no power in that realm, everything on earth is an impression. It's caricature. It will take doctrine. The Holy Ghost told me you don't know grace. He said, unless you can preach grace from revelation. Because when you go into revelation, grace versus works is ratio of 1:3. The grace that leads to laxity is deception from Hades. It will take doctrine. Hey,
The fourth dimension of the ministry of the word is to observe, to do. The word does not begin with reading and end there. It does not begin and end with exhortation. You don't know the word until you are doing it. In Joshua 1:8, it said, this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate on it day and night to observe, to do what is written therein. So the ministry of the word begins with reading. It journeys into exhortation. It goes into doctrine. And then it completes with doing. In Acts 1 verse 1, it said, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach. If you are not doing it, you don't know it. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 to 14, it says, whoever uses milk is a babe. Is unskillful in the word of righteousness. It says, strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use, by the doing of the word, have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. We quote scriptures, but we don't do scriptures. That's why even the princes laugh at us. When you are done quoting, they say, come here. When you are done quoting, they send you back to rebellion and disobedience. And then at the end of the day, it becomes about a show about human applause, and there's no authority in the realm where it matters. In James chapter 1, from verse 22 to 25, it said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When you are not doing the word, you are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving. In verse 25, it said, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continuous therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, he said, that man shall be blessed. The amount of the word you know is not the one you quote. The amount of the word you know is not the one you memorized. The amount of the word you know is the one you obey. If you want to find out how much scripture do you know, find out how much scripture do you obey. Is the number of scriptures you obey that you know. That's why I say you will know the truth. It will set you free. Truth is not about recitation. The scripture you obey is the scripture you know. And I can tell you, there are many people who have never read this book, but they know more scripture than you. Because the word of God came before the Bible was written. The word of God did not begin with the writing of the Bible. There are people who have not read the Bible, but they know the word of God. The Bible said, they that doeth good, they said their conscience is the law unto them. So there are many people who know the word of God, but they are not quoting it. You don't know it until you begin to obey it. The extent of your obedience is the extent of your knowledge of the word. And so you want to do business with the word, you've got to begin to obey. And I say, when you begin to do the ministry of the word, things are opened up in you. Because the proof that you know is that you are blessed. He said, that man is blessed. In 1 Timothy 4:15, they say, give thyself wholly to these things, that thy profiting may be made manifest unto you. When a man begins to grow in the ministry of the word, there are profiting. And I told us yesterday, number one is the realm of faith. The realm of faith is open to you. You begin to perceive realities from another realm. You begin to function by the realities of another realm. You will not know how you got there. The word brought it. Because faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. So when a man begins to gain mastery in the ministry of the word, he enters the realm of faith. And I said number two, when a man begins to gain mastery in the ministry of the word, he enters the realm of wisdom. That's the realm of light. Job said, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. He said, by light I walk through darkness. When you begin to truly master the ministry of the word, you enter wisdom. You may not know why you will take a step. Not because you have facts, the word provoked it. Because you say, when you are going in the wrong direction, you will hear a voice behind you saying, turn back, this is not the way to go. There is an operation of wisdom that will be intrinsically activated in your spirit, man. Wise men are men that live by the word. When you begin to grow in the word, the third thing that happens to you is that the power of God is activated in your life. Power is not only a function of impartation. He said in Luke 5:17, Jesus was teaching. The power of God was present to heal. When the word is activated, power is activated. Why? Because power is a product of the word. He said, in the beginning, God said, 10 times, and 10 times the world was reconstructed. Every time the world goes forward, power is released. Power is actually a product of the world. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power. It's not the theology of God. It's not the philosophy of God. It's not the ideology of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. Every time a man begins to live out the word, power becomes a byproduct. That's why Christians don't struggle with power unless as there's a word deficiency in their spirit. Every word you catch authorizes you for your destiny. Every word you catch empowers you for your destiny. Every word you catch provokes something in your spirit that makes you a ruler in your destiny. He said, the word is sustained by the word of his power. All things are sustained by the word of his power. As you do business with the word, you'll be shocked. Things are going wrong. You may just say it casually. And the casual things you say will have more power than the religious activity you were doing before you activated the word. And you will wonder, how have these things been? How? When did I enter this dimension? The day you enter that word dimension, you enter that power dimension. Christians will remain weak until the word begins to empower them. The reason our world is reduced to psychology is because there's no word. Somebody comes to a power meeting, he says a lot of garbage. And when he's done talking, he begins to create all kinds of things. Turn around, jump up, run left and right. If you turn around, why won't you fall down? It's your balance, not in your ear. Even biology explains it. When you turn around, you will fall. And people turn around and you hear, they shout and people fall. They say, power of God. What power is that? How come the power only makes people fall and it doesn't open blind eyes? And it doesn't open deaf ears? And it doesn't cause cripples to walk? Because we have reduced Christianity to psychology. If we want to see the real power of God, we will go back to the scripture, because that's where power is encoded. How much power do you have? It's how much word do you have in your spirit. When the word begins to grow in your spirit, the power will naturally begin to grow. People are looking for impartation. They just come, so you lay hands on them, they'll go and raise the dead. You are joking. People want you to just lay hands on them, and then they go, and they open blind eyes. Who told you it works like that? The weight of your power is consistent with the weight of your consecration. And one of the ways to verify consecration is the depth to which you are addicted to the word of God. I went for a conference in Lagos. We were told Apostle Randy Clark was coming. And when I went, I made sure I violated every protocol. Thank God for protocol officers. You people are trying. You are lucky I didn't come for your meeting. Tell me somebody is here that carries something and I come and you stand. Reverend Umar Akwa came for crusade in Benue some years ago. And there were over 30 protocol officers. They blocked the road that nobody will touch him. I looked at them and laughed. I said, these people don't know the hunger I have. When they finished blocking, when Reverend Umar Akwa finished and he wanted to go, where I came from, even the protocol guys knows that as the wind blow it, and thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth, so are they that are born. I trusted through them and grabbed the man and took something. I went for Randy Clark's meeting. I violated every protocol until I knelt before him and he laid hands on me. He said, you will walk in the glory realm of the anointing. When I left there, I said, my ministry has started. I started organizing how we'll start traveling around and praying for the sick. And to my greatest dismay, the first 2 weeks, everybody I prayed for was healed. Cancer, hepatitis, strange cases. People were just being healed. I said, what? This is the season for international ministry. We have waited. It has come. Now is the time. After 2 weeks, the anointing vaporized. That was when I realized what Paul told Timothy. Fan to flame the gift of God that is in thee. I now realize there is a revelation that anointing rests on. And I didn't have that anointing. I didn't have that revelation. So even though the impartation was legit, there was no light to sustain it. After 2 weeks, the anointing vanished. And when I realized it, I started pursuing consecrations. I know when I touch that consecration, even if that man is not in my ecosystem, through the word, I will meet him in the spirit. That's why I told you yesterday that the word are doorways. They are doorways, sir. If you meet the consecration requirement, the person that carries that grace, even if he has died, he will come back from the dead. That's why we meet men in the spirit. Because there are certain mantles that you can't return with. You enter a depth of meditation on the word. You sit on the word, you eat it. When your consecration is attained, you will discover you may be sleeping and God will carry you through your dream. And you will meet the man that carries that dimension. He will put it on you. And there is no stopping it. I have met men in the spirit that have died many years ago. But they are not dead. Because in the spirit, they are spirit of just men made perfect. And there are certain graces that they should give to people on earth. But there is no consecration. So God will wait. That's why sometimes you come for a meeting. You are waiting for an anointing to open blind eyes. When they impart you, only hunger is what you go with. Because God gives you that hunger to go and attain that consecration requirement. When that requirement is met, the same preacher that imparted you will come back and meet you when you are fasting. And then you will know that impartations don't only happen in the conference. The man will lay hand on you, the grace will not rest. You will go with hunger. When you meet the consecration requirement, the man will be sleeping in his house. God will come and carry him. And take his spirit to meet you where you are. Because see, whether he likes it or not, your consecration has called for his dimension. And there is no stopping it. He can't stop it. He may not want to. Hope you know, Elijah didn't want to give it to Elisha. He said, you have asked a hard thing. What do you mean hard thing? I have paid the price for this grace. I have attained the impartation, the consecration level. When Elisha was going to heaven with it, the heavenly entourage that came to carry him, they hit the mantle down. They hit it down from his hand. It was the whirlwind that dropped the mantle. Elijah never dropped it. And even Elisha carried his own to the grave. Because they don't give these things. We take them. If you are thinking they will give it to you, you are a joker. They don't give it. We take it. We take it. We take it. Do you know how many mantles men have gone back to the Lord with? And so some of them, they take it. And God will not allow them bring it into heaven. He will keep it at the gate of heaven. In Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4, he said the ear of David is like a tower. He said there are the shields of many warriors. They refuse to give it in time. God won't let them enter heaven with it. And so when your consecration level is attained, those mantles will fall on you. They will fall. And people will look at you, they will know that this thing happening to you is ancient. We have seen it in the life of Charles Finney. We have seen it in the life of John Wesley. How come he came to Africa? Because it's not race sensitive. It's consecration sensitive. And I can be in Afghanistan and connect to a mantle that changed the United States. Because it's the man who attains the consecration that picks it. This is why we journey in the world. When you enter, real power will find you. Power will find you. Who told you Benson Idahosa is dead? Who told you they are dead? The Bible never called them dead. It called them spirit of just men made perfect. And they say, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. Sometimes you do business with this world so much, this man will ask God to give them permission to come for your meeting. There are things we don't share. Did you not read that when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah showed up? There are certain revelations you catch. The men who handled that revelation, they know what they felt like when they were on earth. And when you are going out for that meeting, they tell God, please, we want to go and sense that anointing again. Allow us to attend this meeting. That's why some of the meetings we enter, the things that happen is beyond our faith level. Because you can come for a meeting, you stayed with God for 3 months, and you hit the realm of intimacy that Enoch hit. When you are coming out, Enoch knows that his dimension will come for that meeting. He will accompany you for that meeting. And men who are sensitive, they will see him. Because the just men, they follow us. There is a weight of tongues you will pray in the spirit. The fire that will literally be on you will activate Elijah in heaven. He will not be able to sit wherever he is. He will want to come for that meeting to see what will happen. Because even in the spirit, there are evolutions.
graces are moving into different propensities. And the men that handled the mantles before, sometimes they want to come and see their successors and see what they are doing. And when we show up, terrible things happen in righteousness because we are not alone. I was going to Kenya and the Lord told me, you are not alone. He said, Gideon is coming with you. I knew when I enter Kenya, I was going to summon warriors. I knew. Because if Gideon is coming, then an army is about to rise. It informed the nature of impartation in that meeting. But it came when I was meditating. Lord, what will you have me say? Kakatoria, Barakatakabano, Sadaka. And he said, when you go to Kenya, you will go with Gideon. When I entered Kenya, even the biggest of ministers knew that this guy that came is not a boy. They give you the honor of an ancient because you came with those graces. You came with those mantles. You came with those dimensions. You are not disadvantaged, but you have not taken advantage of the things that are meant for you. The ministry God has sent you to carry, some of you are continuing what Paul did. That's why when you open the scripture, you have revelation. But a time must come when you will travel in the world to meet Paul. And when you meet him on earth, you become like Paul. You will be as ancient as Paul. When you talk, even the wisest of men cannot dissuade it. They cannot disapprove it. They will know that what you are talking is beyond your age. It's an ancient syllable you are reading from. That's why I told you, when they ask you how old are you, is a wrong question. The question they should ask is, where have you been to? If I have met Paul and you want to know my age, you need to trace me back to the day Paul was born. Because that was the day that man came to earth. And so I'm walking by an ancient wisdom. These are the things available to us by the word. Quit the drama. Quit the gimmick. You can become anything you want to be. Search it in the scripture. To the church, once again. Mantles have been given to the church, once again. For the kings to be born. For the ancients to arise. For the priests to arise. For the ancients to be born. Halle, halle, ho, halle, ho, halle, ho. Halle, halle, ho. Halle, halle, ho.
Halle, ho,
halle, ho. Halle, halle, ho. Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mandates have been given to the church once again. For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the princes to be born, for the patriarchs to arise. Halle, halle, ho. Halle, halle, ho. Halle, halle, ho. Halle, halle, ho. Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mandates have been given to the church once again. For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the princes to arise, for the priests to arise. There are things about to begin to happen here. The Bible spoke concerning John the Baptist. His father was a priest, but the guy knew that priesthood alone is not enough. So he went back to the Chronicles of the Spirit. And as he tarried there, the Bible said when he came out, he came in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. It's possible for you to function like Benson Itahosa. It's possible for you to function like Katri Kuma. The gates they access, find it in the scripture. Halle, halle, ho.
Halle, ho, halle, ho. Halle, halle, ho. Halle, halle, ho. Halle, ho, halle, ho. Halle, halle, ho.
Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mandates have been given
touch once again for the kings to be born.
Storybook. This is a mystical book handed to spiritual people. The Bible spoke concerning Daniel. When he was done writing, God said, you seal up the book. You don't know it because you read it. He said, seal it up. And when Paul came, he said, I have received the grace because I have been invited into the fellowship of the mystery. And that grace was given to me to make men see what Daniel locked. I came to open it. And he said, whoever reads this will become a partaker of that mystery. So when we enter the book, we can journey through the world to Paul, to Daniel, until we come to the foundation of those oracles. When we study, we journey. When we meditate, we journey. It's not about recitation. It's about entering the realm where God dwells. Because there's something about you that your generation is waiting for. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Saria bete gevacado, barakiva levanada, jagabade, vele vele vele, siba katoba natali, baratua. Ale ale yo. Spirit, there are scrolls being opened, and a new order and a new generation of men are rising, because I see a scribe and I see ordinations being written out. Though there are activations of mandates, there are activations of graces, there are activations of mantles. Everyone in this service implicated for a shift, implicated for an activation, implicated for an activation of an ordination. By the spirit of the patriarch, by the spirit of the ancient, Holy Ghost, find them. Barakadoba, ushers, bring them. I want to touch them. Take those graces. Take those activations. Take those impartations. Take those mantles. Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mandates have been given to the church once again. For the kings to be born. For the ancients to arise, for the princes to arise, for the patriarchs to arise. Please hear this. I want to lay hands on these people. I see the word dominion in the spirit. And the Lord tells me now, he's raising men. I don't know why. It's almost the same graces that he released yesterday that he's releasing. So there's either an intensification or there is a further impartation. I see the word dominion, and it's a man that will rule over nature. It's not just about church service. They can command the soil to produce. They can command the moon to stop, the sun to stand. The very order of Joshua. Men that rule over systems, economic systems, governmental system. Those are the mandates God is giving. Father, wherever they are, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to those online, those with the power and the mantle of dominion, I call you forth. I come in the spirit of Elijah and I stir the fire in your spirit. Now, take that grace. Take that grace. Take that impartation. Take that grace.
Saturate my heart, cause an overflow. Oh, Emmanuel. Saturate my heart, cause an overflow. Oh, Emmanuel. Saturate my heart, cause an overflow.
Can you please pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? Pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. Wherever you are, burst into tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Rakabadegeboniya talabada.
Mekubaya handelegada labrodo legada ya halegada. Mekando rabalegada ya halegado librada la hande yagada. Mekubaya handelegada ya halegada librodo lobodo. Rayada handelegado razia katalebaya. Ramumadiada handelegado razia katayagada. Mekubaya handelegada ya hande yagada librada labada. Rayada ya halagada libraga ya halagada librodo lobodo.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's something about to happen here now. Before I pray for the sick. There's something, please help the sister. There's something about to happen. The fifth thing that happens to you when you touch the word is that the glory of God on your life begins to increase. And God doesn't even want me to share. Some of you, the level of glory you carry, the weight of glory you carry, it's about to increase. There's about to be a glow from your spirit. It says we all with open faces beholding as in a glass.
the image of the Lord will change from glory to glory. People are about to shift. Please, all those under the anointing, bring them here. All those God is touching, bring them here. Father, in the name of Jesus, every glory that you are intensifying, my God. Those of you here, please lift your hand. I see a light. My God. Wherever they are, carriers of the glory. Carriers of the glory. Now. Pay. My God.
Something will go with you. Something will go with you. The presence of God will go with you. I'm seeing an apostolic rod rest on somebody here. You are called into that office. Father, whoever is implicated, such as I have, now I give that one. In the name of Jesus the Christ, take it. My God. I'm seeing something happening at the back there. I don't know. It's like some people are hearing a sound and there's about to be a transport in the spirit. You are about to be introduced into a new realm of spiritual operation. Father, all these ones that you are about to catch up in the spirit, wherever they are now, by the spirit,
in the name of Jesus,
let the wind carry you now.
In the name of Jesus.
Now. Ascensions in the spirit. Take that impartation.
In the name of Jesus.
Blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory. Cover us with your wind. Blow.
The sick.
My God. I'm seeing somebody here. Listen, those of you here, this row, you have a challenge with your private organ, like a scrotal infection. Here, somewhere around here, towards the back, there's a challenge with your private organ. I don't know if there's an enlargement or a pain of some sort. It's a private organ infection. The Lord is just touching that person now. Can you lift your hands? I want to pray for you now. If you are not ashamed, that affliction ends now. Come here, let me pray with you. I'm seeing somebody here, you can't lift your hands. Here, there's a fracture on your shoulder. The Lord just touched your hand. Somewhere in front here, very close to me. Lift your hands toward heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I curse that affliction. Go from him now. Go from him now. Go from him now. In the name of Jesus. Somebody has just been healed of a bone condition. Somewhere close to me here, you couldn't lift your hands. Lift that hands up now. Father, I curse that affliction to its root. In the name of Jesus, get out. Free in the name of Jesus. Never to return. Lift your hands, you'll discover you are fine. Lift your hands, I want to pray for the sick now. Precious Holy Spirit. Towards that AC at the back, please hear me. Towards that white AC at the back, where I'm pointing, around that arc, I'm seeing somebody that has a challenge with your throat. It looks like something is there you can't swallow, and you have been having pain and struggling with swallowing around your throat. Somebody towards there, can you wave at me quick? I want to pray for you. Come quickly. Come quickly. Lift your hands toward heaven. Every affliction you came here with, now, it's cursed. It's cursed. It's cursed. I take authority over the spirits of infirmity. I command sickness go from their bodies. Afflictions die. Chains of sickness break. I curse it to its root. I curse it to its root. My God, I'm seeing somebody towards some, listen, close to that eye, where that mama with the yellow shirt is standing. Somebody has a problem under your armpit. It's like there's a painful substance or boil or something there. The Lord just touched somebody there. That eye towards the back. Can you wave at me? Come quickly, brother. Come quickly. The Lord touches you. Mama, come. In the name of Jesus, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Yeshua. It's gone, never to return. Go in the name of Jesus. Check that affliction. You'll discover it's gone. Listen. Under that projector there, close there, I'm seeing a young lady that has excruciating pain on her breast. It's an affliction of the devil. And it's affecting you seriously. The devil wants to give you something that has to do with cancer of the breast. But the Lord comes for you tonight. If you are not ashamed, just wave. Come here, I pray for you. And that affliction dies forever. It dies forever. It dies forever. It dies forever. Every breast pain, breast growth, breast contraction, I curse it to its root. In the name of Jesus.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.